This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right, folks, here we are again, once again, for another episode of the segment you all love, and I do as well, Thursday Coast, which now has actually become the longest running regular segment on Make It Claim. That's what we've become. So, and for obvious reasons, we treasure the knowledge that Marcos Melitzis has to share as the founder of the largest online progressive community, dailycoast.com. And no matter if you check it out even more, especially these days. Founder of the polling firm Civics with a Q, civics.com, and host of the ever popular podcast, The Brief. He joins us once again, and we're excited because Marcos kind of gave us a preview. So we want to hear some news today. So I had told a few people, you all do not want to miss today. You want to hear what we're going to say. Marcos, welcome back as always. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. And politics is fun and we're winning. And so it's a joy to get up in the morning and be blessed with the job that I have. I suspect you feel the same, right? Things, the vibes are just a whole different world from what it was when Biden was running.
It is a good feeling, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, so good.
No question about it. So Marcos, you were kind of trying to, well, you really kind of restrained yourself last week because you wanted to see what this week would bring in terms of numbers. You said everything matters after Labor Day, right?
Everything matters after Labor Day. This is the time to pay attention. Polling. So, Mark, things are, you know, so I guess the place to start is sort of like to set the table. Where are we today? Because that's going to be the new baseline, right? Where are we? Because we still haven't had a lot of the new polling come in from a lot of states. There's a lot of crap polling. So things are, and there's a good poll that says that Harris is winning Arizona by 5 and another good poll that says she's losing by 1, right? So things are a little bit all over the place right now. But here's sort of the baseline. And the baseline looks pretty freaking good for Kamala Harris. So you take all the states that are sort of locked in, which is basically Nevada, Arizona, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia. Those are states those are the battleground states. The polling consensus right now is pretty solid that Harris has a pretty decent lead in both Michigan and Wisconsin. Wisconsin's like a 5-point lead. Michigan's about a 3-point lead. Very, very steady. And what's really interesting about those polls, too, is that Trump is actually lagging pretty far behind. He's in 44, 45%. And I've said before on this show, and I've written about it a million times, Nationally, Trump is stuck at 46%. He cannot get to 47%. He'll probably get less than that this year at this point, nationally. On the battleground states, obviously, it's higher because that's why they're battlegrounds. But the fact that Trump is sort of stuck in that same 44, 45% range in Michigan and in Wisconsin means that they are basically turning out of his reach. And what's really interesting is that we just got to look into the fall advertising buys for both campaigns. And Trump is not buying ads in Wisconsin or Michigan. As of now, that can change. But as of now, he's not even, I mean, I think it was like $1 million in ad reservations and Harris is at like $50 million, right? So it's not even in the same universe for those states. So I'm going to say, I'm going to put Michigan and Wisconsin in Kamala Harris's sort of bucket right now. That can change. Nothing says it, nothing set in stone, but that's a baseline. Yeah.
So just let me pause it. Michigan 5, Wisconsin 3. Is that beyond the margin of error?
Yeah. It's, I mean, in the aggregate, it's all the polls put together, right? So it's kind of, it's kind of hard to say margin of error because it's different polls, different methodologies. And, right. But just generally speaking, if you're at above 3 points in a state, you're looking pretty good, right? So even right now, Trump is plus, you know, and I've seen some polls that have Trump like in the mid single digits in Florida. It's close. He's still looking pretty good. Like it's in the Trump bucket right now. It could change. Things can change. But right now, if Florida is plus 5 Trump, it's going to be in the Trump bucket for now. So that's the way I see Michigan and Wisconsin. So I'm putting those in the Kamala Harris bucket right now, which basically leaves all the single point states within 1 point are Nevada, Arizona, Georgia, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania. So you look at this map and Kamala Harris has 251 electoral votes. She needs 270 to win. Trump has 219. He needs 51 votes. Just in our basic map today, Harris only needs 19 points to win, 19 electoral votes. Trump needs 51. So what does that mean from a practical perspective? It means that Harris has a lot of paths to victory. Trump has basically one path. And Trump cannot win if he loses Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is 19 electoral votes. Kamala Harris needs 19 electoral votes, right? So that's just number one. Harris can lose Pennsylvania. Trump cannot lose Pennsylvania. And right now, it's pretty... It's a 1 point state. Right? I think Harris has a 1 point lead in Pennsylvania. It's a toss up. It's Pennsylvania is the game, y'all. Pennsylvania is the game. So if we win it, Trump cannot win. So there's that. North Carolina has 16 electoral votes. Georgia has 16 electoral votes. So basically, if Harris wins either of those and Nevada, she can still lose Pennsylvania. Or if she wins, you know, Arizona. So there's multiple permutations of this electoral map because she only needs 19. Trump needs 51. So Trump needs to win Pennsylvania. He needs to win either North Carolina or Georgia. He needs to, let me see, where are we at? He needs to he would need to win North Carolina, Georgia, Arizona, and Pennsylvania to win. So you're basically talking, he's got to clear out the board. These are all battleground states. He has to win it, most of them. He can lose Nevada of that bunch and still win. But in other words, he's got to win Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Arizona, Nevada, or he has to win Georgia, Arizona, Nevada, or he has to win both of those in one other state. He's got to win 4 out of the 5 last states. And one of those has to be Pennsylvania.
All right. Now, those states, though, just to recap, Nevada, Arizona, North Carolina, and Georgia, they're all still very tight. You say within 1 point. Did I hear you correct?
They're all within 1 point in Pennsylvania. So in the polling aggregates right now, the 538 polling aggregate right now, Harris is 0.8 in Pennsylvania, 0.3 in Georgia, 0.6 in Nevada. While Trump is 0.4 in Arizona and 0.6 in North Carolina. that's where things are. At that point, if you're within a point, it's a toss up. Like that's within the margin of who hustles the most, who gets their vote out, who has a better turnout operation. And within the margin of, there could be polling error in there. Like, it's so tight that all you need is one or two polls that are off the mark to skew that polling average and getting it wrong. So it's a close race. That's the data. That's the numbers. I will say, Mark, I don't think it's that close. I think that today we saw that Harris raised $300 million. Trump raised $130 million in August. $300 million in a single month. Trump campaign's bragging about $130 million means that they got such active base and they're all motivated. It's like, okay, if you're right, what does $300 million look like, Trump campaign? Over double of what they have. So we have a very engaged, very active, very motivated core, much more so than the Republican side. We're seeing Trump on the defensive every single day. He's incapable of truly attacking Kamala Harris because he's not weird. He's defending himself against being weird. He's defending himself for the Arlington scandal, Arlington Cemetery scandal. He's defending himself from people saying that he's incoherent, and how people say he's a genius because he can wrap 8 storylines together. Like, he's just in there defending himself, right? Who wants to go to a Trump rally?
It's called weave. It's a weave.
A weave.
I can do a weave.
And so he has no message. People come out of his rallies basically bored and not really excited to be engaging in the election cycle. Completely different than what you're seeing with both Kamala Harris and with Tim Walz. And so there's this intensity undercurrent that the polls cannot gauge, because the polls are going to ask you, are you voting for Kamala Harris or are you voting for Donald Trump? And a bored Donald Trump counts the same as a really excited Kamala Harris in those poll results. But when it comes time to actually doing the hard work that it takes to win elections, like not just turning out to vote, but getting your friends and family and coworkers excited about voting, making phone calls, writing postcards, knocking on doors, doing the work it takes to win an election. And we're seeing Kamala Harris sign up hundreds of thousands of new volunteers every month. Mm-hmm. I'm not seeing the Trump campaign talk about it at all. I'm not sure they're even doing much on that front. So there's that piece. There's the get out the vote operation, the official get out the vote operation. The DNC has cycles of experience doing it. We won the 2022 election on our get out the vote operation. Trump took control of the Republican National Committee. He put his daughter-in-law in charge of it. They fired their entire get out the vote operation team. All of them. They fired all of them. We just saw that. Lara Trump? She's doing music videos right now, supposedly in the midst of the most important election of their lifetime, where communist Kamala Harris may take over and end America as we know it. And she's recording music videos. Maybe they really don't care that much. And if the Trumps can't really put any energy into it, how do they expect their supporters to put energy into it? So Trump, no rallies all week, not one. And he had 7 rallies all of August. 7 rallies. One of them was in Montana, not even a battleground state. Now, he'll say that he's busy because he's calling into Fox News and OANN and Sean Hannity. But that's not doing election work, right? That's talking to your pals in friendly media. Mark, it would be freaking fantastic if Kamala Harris joined us right now and we talked to Kamala Harris, right? It'd be so much fun. It would not earn her a single new vote, right? Because everybody watching is already a Democrat and a Kamala Harris supporter, right? So you're, by hanging out with Sean Hannity or Elon Musk, he's not campaigning. That's not campaigning. No, campaigning is finding ways to bring in new voters to your party. And Kamala Harris is definitely doing that kind of work. Her and Tim Walz are just barnstorming through the country. And Donald Trump just went a whole week without a campaign rally. He's finally having one on Saturday. He had one like last Friday. this is the kind of schedule that he's holding. And there haven't been any new ones scheduled on the schedule. So there's an intensity with a candidate. Now, let's look at the candidates, right? Like Kamala Harris, her approval ratings and Tim Walz's approval ratings are rising. This is, I will say this very clearly, unprecedented. When a candidate goes national, their approval ratings always go down. They get partisanized. All the screaming, all the attacks, it drags them down. This is what happens. When John Kerry ran against George Bush, George Bush had approval ratings of like 35%. He didn't try to make himself more popular. What they did is they dragged John Kerry down into the same level, right? That's what you do. That's what Republicans have spent the last month and a half trying to do, and her numbers are going up. She is now in net positive favorability ratings. That means more people like her that don't like her. This is mind-blowing. It does not happen. Trump, of course, is down in the muck, right? That's going to matter. So there's all these factors that are playing into the broader sort of political climate that the simple, are you going to vote for Harris or Trump question does not answer. So here's my prediction. And I'm going to go on a limb, but I'm going to say that those numbers are going to continue going up for Harris, that she will increase the leads. And here's what's going to happen is in mid-October, the floor is going to fall out from Trump. This happened to Walter Mondale. This happened to Jimmy Carter. This happened to Mike Dukakis, where the race is tight, tight, tight. And then the floor falls just weeks before the election, where people who have been holding on to a candidate finally go like, eh, no, I'm done. And it's not going to happen right now, but it's the conditions. So it's kind of like a hurricane, right? You like the conditions, you see the swelling, right? You're like, you know that hurricane's coming, but it ain't there yet because the conditions are creating the environment that allow that hurricane to be birthed and to grow and to gain steam and then to hit landfall, right? So this is where we are right now, all these conditions. And it's kind of amazing how little material they have to work against Kamala Harris, right? So Mark, today the big scandal is what? That she didn't work at McDonald's? Like that's what Trump is walking around complaining about, that she lied about working at McDonald's? I mean, Mark, come on. I mean,
like anybody cares
about they're this is a presidential campaign. There isn't a single person that gives a damn. And the reality is she did work at McDonald's. So they just wasted 2 days of news cycles complaining about Kamala Harris working at McDonald's. Time's running short.
From someone who lived a privileged life that never worked at McDonald's. I mean, to me, that's the thing you kind of want to be quiet about yourself. Usually that long, but he doesn't get it. Okay. Wow. So this is heavy. All right. So let's do this. Hurricane Kamala.
I like that.
And hopefully that's not sexist. I mean, but you know, they've always named hurricanes after women. I don't know why they do that. Did anybody know why they name hurricanes after women? I don't know what that's about, but no, we'll take it. This is a good hurricane. I want to go back. So you all heard Marcos, the bottom is going to fall out in October. That's his prediction. But I want to drill down a little bit further. She does not need Pennsylvania. Is it too tedious to walk through a few combinations of what else can happen? So, for example, how many electoral votes does Arizona have?
Arizona has 11.
And she needs 19. How many does Nevada have?
6. So Arizona and Nevada is not enough.
So I would say then, have a hard time trusting Georgia. Although Georgia's talking a lot of trash. People in Georgia.
I trust Georgia. They
talking big game. I'm not going to lie. I have a little more trust and faith in Nevada, Arizona, and North Carolina.
That would do it.
Do you feel more confident about North Carolina or Georgia? How many does North Carolina have?
They both have 16. So Georgia and North Carolina are right there, 16 each. Mm-hmm. So All she needs, she could lose Pennsylvania. If she wins either North Carolina or Georgia, she can win any other state and she wins.
Now, Arizona, Gallego, Crazy Carrie Lake. I'm surprised it's close, but here's the other unknown, and I don't know whether the polls look
at the Senate race is not close. The top of the ticket is close.
But the other thing on the ballot though, Marcos, and I don't know whether anybody's doing the math on this. Abortion's on the ballot in Arizona, is it not?
Yeah.
So is any polling on that?
Oh, I don't know exact numbers, but it's winning easily. It's not even close.
So doesn't it stand to reason? It's not a stretch to say the people who are going to vote to constitutionalize abortion rights in Arizona are not going to vote for Donald Trump.
I mean, some of them are. There is a delta of Republican women who are Republican. Just, you know, a lot of them in the exurbs who actually are going to vote for the abortion. It happened in Kansas, right? The abortion amendment won by 20 points and Trump's going to win by 15 in Kansas. So it happens. But what it does, it sort of plants that seed, right? Because Carrie Lake and Donald Trump are now anti-abortion. Trump's anti-abortion again. And there is a cognitive sort of dissonance between voting for abortion rights and in voting for the people trying to eliminate abortion. And I suspect on the margins, it's absolutely going to have an impact. Not to mention, it's going to turn out more young people who care about the issue who otherwise who may have sat out the election. So it definitely gins up turnout. It forces Republicans to stand on the side of an unpopular issue. And it reinforces the anti-woman elements of the Republican Party. And obviously, J.D. Vance is every single week we see a new video come out of him saying the worst things about women. And when I talk about the bottom falling out, that's exactly what I'm talking about, where women's, I'm a Republican. And every week it's like, oh, but they want to take away my right. Oh, J.D. Vance says that once I stop breeding, I have no purpose in life. And why don't I die? Oh, somebody else has just accused Donald Trump of being a racist or a rapist, and he's been convicted. Oh, like these things add up, and there comes a point where they might be like, yeah, screw it. I'm not voting, or I'm voting for Kamala Harris.
Let me ask another interrogatory then, because that's sobering to me. And when you say it, it makes sense that there will be Republican women, Kansas, who will vote for abortion, the constitutionality of abortion, and Trump. But as you've indicated, Trump's got a ceiling. So even if they vote, does he exceed that ceiling in a state like Arizona? One. And two, does Democratic turnout increase because abortion is on the ballot?
Yes, it does. Now, his ceiling is higher in the battleground states. That's why they're battlegrounds, because he can get more votes than the Democratic ticket, right? So this is this is really the messed up nature of the Electoral College. We have a nation of 340 million people, and we're basically going to be looking at 70,000 dumbasses in Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada to decide this thing, right? It's absolutely absurd that this is the situation that we're in. But that's the situation we're in. We're kind of stuck with it right now. So the question is, what is the best way to maximize our turnout and maximize that problem that women are having with Donald Trump and with the Republican Party? And I think that one of the ways that Harris has been incredibly effective, like, historically so, in her campaign, which is one of the reasons her numbers are going up, is that she hasn't made it about her being a woman. And it's a bit of a contradiction there, right? Like, her numbers are going up with women in a way that they didn't with Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton numbers went down when she was the national figure. Her numbers went down, just like every other, like I'm saying, what's happening with Kamala Harris is different. Her numbers are going up. And I think a big part of that is she's not framing it in as, you know, she's this historic first Black woman, first woman candidate, which for whatever reason turns off certain people. It sort of like it triggers conservatives, and maybe it triggers conservative women because they, right. I don't know, it's weird, right? I don't know why they're conservative in the first place. So I can't say that. But it's kind of fascinating seeing that the less she leans on the historic nature of her candidacy, the more the public is responding. And they're responding in the weirdest way. So do you know Sarah Longwell? She's at the Bulwark. She has a podcast on where she talks about her focus groups. And she was talking in her recent podcast about a former Trump supporter who is now voting for Kamala Harris. And his reason was that she's married to a white guy, therefore she's not one of the racist ones.
Right, yeah, that's what I mean. Right.
And, you know, we're all going like, oh, dude, please don't vote. Like, you know, no, you're too stupid for words. But this 70,000 people that are going to decide the election in these very few states, that's how they think. And Harris is doing a great job, however she's doing it, of winning them over and people like her, and watching Republicans sort of flail and getting worse on the issue of women's, like they're on women, like they're, you know, you start seeing them talk about like, well, women shouldn't even have the right to vote, and women, like, they reinforce this sort of unease that a lot of Republican women, conservative leaning women, have about the ticket. Liz Cheney just endorsing Kamala Harris is a big one. It sort of lends cover for a lot of these women to say, like, okay, if Liz Cheney, who's a Cheney in Wyoming, if she says it's okay, then maybe Trump is full of crap about Harris being a communist. And you start creating sort of those conditions that, like I said, I suspect at some point that bottom's going to fall out because it's untenable. Like, these women do not want to defend Donald Trump. And so what happens at the point where, like, okay, I'm done defending him, but why am I still voting for him? And I would not be surprised if the Harris campaign very strategically starts rolling out female Republican, like Republican women, like the Meg Whitmans of New Jersey, like these former, you know, high profile Republican women coming out and saying, yeah, we're going to vote for Kamala Harris to continue to provide that cover. So it's a very dynamic situation, and the core partisanship of our nation right now is barely holding it together. It's fraying in Wisconsin. It's fraying in Michigan. It's still holding firm in Pennsylvania and the rest of the battlegrounds. But things are going to move. I don't think it's going to stay this time. It could. I could be totally wrong, Mark. We'll find out. But there is so much moving outside of that, of the main head-to-heads. Her favorability ratings, Tim Wallace's favorability ratings, the level of excitement, the level of engagement, the fundraising numbers. I mean, those fundraising numbers are just, they're just next level. I mean, it's not even in the same ballpark as Trump. She has so much money now that she's giving it to the Democratic Senate and House committees and the state legislative committees. So because not only do we want to elect more of those people because they'd be helpful if she was president, but also if they run robust campaigns at the bottom of the ticket. So for example, you mentioned Ruben Gallego in Arizona. He has beaten Carrie Lake by like 8 points. And at top of the ticket is tied. You give Gallego more money for get out the vote for people that like him. That's going to be people that are probably going to end up voting for Kamala Harris. I mean, if he goes into some of the Latino areas that have low turnout, you know, numbers, they're going to vote for Kamala Harris. Same thing in North Carolina, right? Mark Robinson is incredibly unpopular. He's losing, the Republican nutpack nominee. I mean, he's so freaking out there. It's not even, like, they really know how to pick him, don't they?
Yeah.
He's losing by like 8 to 10 points, the governor's race. Like, the Democrats, they're going to win that easy. It's still tied at the top of the ticket, right? So there's a lot of people that are going to vote Democratic on the governor's side and think they're going to still vote for Trump. The more money that the Democratic Governor Association has to turn out, to do voter turnout and to engage those voters that are core Democrats, I mean, not be like, you know, the most reliable voters, that's going to help Kamala Harris at the top of the ticket. So it's actually very smart money to sort of seed that money down in levels, because the more Democrats turn out for the lower level candidates, the better it helps Kamala Harris. So she's able, she's got this money to be able to hit this get out the vote challenge from multiple angles, and are doing it. And so it's an incredibly smart, savvy, well-messaged, well-controlled, well-managed campaign. I don't think she's made any missteps right now. The media is crying about it, but liberals are kind of done with the New York Times and the Washington Post and the Politico and all their false equivalency and their double standards. So we're in uncharted territory. And like I said, those head-to-heads, I thought they'd be moving a little bit more until now, and they did in Wisconsin and Michigan. They haven't in the other battlegrounds. And I just think it's just, it's like a tension spring, right? It's just getting tighter and tighter and tighter, just, or a rubber band, right? Where you're pulling back and at some point it's going to be snapped. And so, because on almost every metric, she's crushing it, except that head-to-head. And that's because that the country's partisanship is so locked in that it's hard to move those numbers. So, but I bet you they will. I bet you they're going to move.
This is very, very interesting.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
You mentioned Liz Cheney. She basically is Princess Leia since her father's Darth Vader.
Oh my God, I love that. I love that.
That's what no, and you're right.
It's kind of evil, though. Believe in democracy, and this is how low the bar is with Republicans. It's like, it'd be great to argue about her with her about tax rates. Let's argue tax rates for billionaires. How about we do that? Right. Nice and boring, and our democracy isn't at risk.
And speaking of which, I mean, Kamala kind of trumped the capital gains critics because she departed from Biden. On that, she's talking about $50,000 for starter businesses. Yeah. I got some neighbors in my neighborhood who run a business, and they were complaining about capital gains and all that. And I haven't heard from them since she made that announcement. Mm. I'll say that. And they're looking at social media, which also makes things worse than what it is. And I'm gonna come back to that in a moment or two. But just going back to these states. Marcos, I don't see, not only does she only need 19 to lose now from what you're saying, she's a 251. To blow it, Trump would have to win Pennsylvania, Arizona, Nevada, Georgia, and North Carolina. I don't see that. All of those states, he'd have to win every single one.
Basically. He's got to run the board.
He's got to run the board.
At a time when his status is deteriorating, he can't focus, he can't campaign, and Harris is rising.
And he's weaving.
He's weaving. It was just brilliant. People are telling him it's just genius how he does that.
When he does that, it reminds me. You all remember Talladega Nights?
Yes.
Will Ferrell, and they were talking, how they were talking. Like, now you see us, now you know. He can play. That's what he was doing with weed.
Mark, right? You're on fire today. Cultural references are landing. So good.
Okay, so he'd have to run a table. So he needs a landslide to win. Now, if we say that out loud, I mean, I just don't see how anybody could even fathom that. He would need, as you said, I mean, run a table is another form of, he needs a landslide in all these states to win. And whatever poll you look at, he's nowhere near polling landslide. But again, it goes to Electoral College and how we look at that. But think about, you know, I was thinking earlier, Marcos, you and I agreed on something months ago, before the Biden's debate performance, you know, and again, folks, for those of you who aren't up on it, Marcos and I were never in love with Joe Biden's candidacy or prospects. Cool dude, like Joe, good man. He's not a little bit evil like Liz and her father, or a lot of evil like, but we never really were excited about his candidacy, even going back to Obama picking him. And we hypothesized what would happen if Joe Biden had dropped out even earlier in this process and Kamala was a nominee. And this is what we said, Marcos, just to refresh. And I agreed. We agreed. And this goes to your point of how she's addressing the issue of being Black and a woman and a Jamaican and a South Asian. All those four boxes she checks, at least. And being the only person, the only law enforcement officer who is recorded giving the order to perform LGBT marriages. So you might as well put that in the box too. There's nobody else on the phone calling somebody to say, you must perform marriages now. So that's one of just, not that others didn't do it. She's documented, right? So, and it's hilarious. So checking five boxes, at least. We said that her checking all those boxes, just coming straight out, straight up as a candidate, would mobilize Trump's base in a reactionary way even more. Remember we said that? Clearly, we were wrong. And I'm glad we were wrong. But I think you're right, obviously. She answers the question from Dana Bash, whose name should be pronounced Dana. She answers the questions from Dana Bash. Next question. And I admit, I don't know that you or I would have had the wherewithal to do that. We might have just, let's get down, just get, you know, gone with it. I probably would have. So that, I think you're right, that is working. And maybe it's precisely because maybe they knew what we predicted, that if we go down that road.
Trump wanted her to engage with that idiocy.
Yeah.
Right. And then that would get his base all riled up because, ooh, you know. But by completely ignoring that, even her choice of a Black suit during the convention speech, without the, you know, not the Hawaii pantsuit. Everything they're doing is calculated to be like Kamala Harris, the prosecutor, vice president, who is going to do good shit for you. Like, none of that is based on our race or identity. And it really has Republicans faltering. They don't know how to handle that, right? They were expecting to go in the mud with her, and she's not going down in the mud. It's not that she's going high. It's that she's picking the battleground that they're going to fight on. And it's over things like, you guys are weird, right? And so Trump's walking around talking about how not weird he is, which is even weirder. And he's repeating the attack, right? Which is the last thing you want to do in politics, is repeat the attack. He can't help himself. Yeah. So in every day that he's on the defensive is one day closer to election, to people casting votes, and to election day itself. And it's there's a desperation in Trump's, the way he behaves. But it's not like he's like, okay, I may be losing, I'm going to do more campaign rallies. No, he's not doing that. Like, he doesn't have the stamina or the energy, or his handlers don't trust him the way Biden's handlers didn't trust him at some point.
Right.
And so it that creates a sort of downward spiral vibe that it's really hard to break from. I mean, we see it in sports all the time, right? So, I mean, you know, a team gets in a losing streak and it's the same players who are winning 2 weeks ago, and they just can't bust out of it, right? They just get sucked into this, like, this circle of doom. And that's really where Republicans are right now. They're bleeding support. They're all excited about John Kennedy or Robert Kennedy Jr., who is even weirder than the Republicans. That's not really doing much. They can't get him off the ballot in the battleground states. He's still on the ballot in Michigan, in North Carolina, and I believe Nevada, and he's taken from Trump now. Like, so they spent hundreds of millions of dollars to prop him up, to take votes from Joe Biden, and now in the end, he's taking votes from Trump in key battleground states. And remember, he's got to win pretty much all of them. He can lose four of those five. I mean, he needs to win four of those five. He can lose one of them. That's all he can afford to lose out of that whole bunch of states.
It's amazing.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, he can lose. He's kind of win four of those five, and he's actually narrowly behind in three of those five states. So it's a tough place for him to be, and I don't think he knows how to handle it. He doesn't know how to counter Joy, and it gets darker and darker because he thinks he's going to scare people into voting for him, but it just becomes bleaker and bleaker to the point where I think it's going to turn people, his supporters are going to just tap out. Like, they're going to, it's too depressing.
Well, speaking of tapping out, I want to, first of all, say something and then ask a political question, even though people say we shouldn't politicize this, but it is politicized because gun laws are part of politics. Of course, what happened in Georgia, the latest shooting, is abominable. Some of us don't have to keep repeating thoughts and prayers. It's obvious that no one wants that to happen anywhere at any time. I don't think anybody really wants that. But none of us seems to want to do anything about it. We still don't have the political will in this country. Shot a bunch of, when they shot those kids up, we said this got to be it. That didn't work, so it doesn't really matter. The baby is in Sandy Hook. But the political question is there just a margin enough of people who will come on board, a few more that will say, you know what, I'm really fed up with this, in Georgia in particular, not anywhere else, who will come on board and say, I'm not voting for someone who is disinterested in stopping this. Does that put Georgia more in play, do you think? Or is that just something we just...
I don't know, Mark, but there's that, I don't know if you saw the text that one of the students in that school sent her mom that said, I'm sorry, mom, I wasn't the better daughter. I mean, I don't know how you could be anywhere in the political spectrum, even a conservative, and see that and not be absolutely gutted. I don't understand how, and again, this may be one of those places, those suburban Republican women that are still holding out, like this chips away at that, because this drives home.
Yeah. And again, y'all, this is the sovereign state of Georgia, which Dr. King singled out in the I Have a Dream speech 61 years ago last week. This is the state that elected at the same time an African-American and a Jew to the Senate. So something's there.
Mm-hmm.
It is also the state that he had to call. It was a very fine call. It was a good call. Mm-hmm. And try to get 11,000 more votes. And people focus on that, but they don't focus on what Raffensperger said. They said, well, dude, basically, if I find you 11,000, it still ain't gonna matter. Hello? I mean, you didn't do well here. Mm-hmm. There were what, 56,000 Republicans that did not vote for you in this state.
Mm-hmm.
This is before January 6th, y'all, which nobody still asks, because I've asked questions. What was going on in Georgia, of all places, that made Republicans not vote for him before he got crazier and more foolish?
Mm-hmm.
So are those people, you going to tell me? So that's when I might not accept the results. You want to tell me those people going to flip? Oh, we didn't vote for him then, but after January 6th and all the crazy stuff since then.
And there's an assumption right now that since polling missed on behalf of, you know, in 2016, that the polling is missing, that it's more favorable to Democrats right now. Like, it's not a good assumption because, one, pollsters have made adjustments to their models to account for the Trump vote. For example, CNN for the New York Times, if they did a poll and somebody said, I'm voting for Trump, fuck you, and then they hung up, they would discard that vote. Now they counted for Trump, right? Like they've learned to that you don't need to finish the whole poll to count a angry Trump voter, right? So people are making those decisions. Two, is Trump overperformed his polling in the primaries? Like Nikki Haley did better than Trump did in every contested state. This is not the notion that polling is automatically biased against Republicans is not necessarily true. Now, we won't know till after the election which way, but there's a very, very good argument. So there was a pretty decent poll out of Michigan that had Trump winning by 1 point recently. The aggregate has Harris winning by 3 points, right? 3-4 points. But this one poll had Trump up by one. This is why we look at the aggregate. That poll had Donald Trump getting 35-40% of the black vote. We all know that's not going to happen, right? So polls have their limitations and they're sometimes wrong. And they're not, people think polling is a science. It's not, it's an art. Because you have to guess. I can tell you 82 or 92% of black women are going to vote for Democrats. I can tell you that with certainty. And I'll be out within 1 point of that by the election. I can tell you every demographic how they're going to vote. What I can't tell you is what percentage of the electorate is going to be black women. Right. Are they going to be 4%? Are they going to be 8%? It makes a big difference, that percentage. So when you look at old white Republican men, whether they're 35% of the electorate or 28% of the electorate, makes a big difference. So this is where polling, it's making an educated guess. Because we like, best we can do is assume. So in an election like this, I almost think the assumption is everybody's going to vote. Just assume everybody's going to vote because everybody's going to vote pretty much, right? Everybody's going to be at historic highs. The youth vote's going to be at historic high. It's not going to be as high as we want because if they went to 50%, it would be over today. You know, Kamala would have 400 electoral votes. But, you know, if they get to 40% instead of 36%, it makes a big difference. This is where, to me, the sort of the bottom falling out and the election results are going to be, this is where it's all going to be seen. It's going to be who turns out to vote. And the fact that we're more motivated, have more money for get out the vote, had a better get out the vote operation because Republicans dismantled theirs and gave it to Charlie Kirk. What does Charlie Kirk know about get out the vote? No, nothing. So do you really want to trust your get out the vote operation to somebody who has no experience running a national get out the vote operation? That's what Trump did because it's a grift. Because it's a grift. It's not because it's actually, he didn't make the smart choice based on who had experience. It's a grift. So a lot of that money is all being thrown into the grift. And so, there's all these factors. And then you look at the polling and she's still winning in the polling. I mean, even if you take like her little leads, right? Like in Asylum, she won because she's ahead in Pennsylvania by a hint. So you are right, Mark. I think we would need to see a dramatic reversal in the dynamics of this race, in one that sort of builds a big Donald Trump wave, like a landslide, to flip all those seats, all those states in his direction. It would, the overall dynamics would have to move 2 to 3 points in the other way, in the other direction, which they're not. And we haven't even talked about next week's debate. So,
well, let's do it. Let's do a little preview. If I were him, I would not show up. If I weren't him, if I were Mark, I wouldn't show up. I'd be like, hey, I'm gonna take the zero on this one. You got this one. And I haven't been convicted of any of the things he's been convicted of either. I don't know what it's really, I don't see any way she could almost stand there and just look at him and not say anything. Her facial expression, she could defeat him with, especially if he's weaving, you know,
he's kind of a weave. I almost see there's that moment where Biden lost the plot in his debate and Trump kind of looked over and said, I don't even know what he just said.
Right.
And it was cutting because he was right. I could see that going the other way this time around.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it definitely go the other way. And unfortunately, in basketball, when you're right, the moment he lost, I got the impression Biden could not reconcile his shock with what Trump was being allowed to get away with and keep his train of thought. I think Biden looked like someone who kind of was like, I think he expected the moderators to do more. And I think even he was not fully prepared for the craziness. And he went there and then he couldn't recover.
Yeah.
She'd have to really be coherent to blow this debate.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, remember we said as long as Biden doesn't drool on himself, you know, he'll be fine. And then he ended up he did exactly that, right? Like nobody's worried that Kamala is going to do this. She knows how to handle. And not only that, but she has the advantage of foresight. Like she's seen how Trump is and they can be very prepared for the onslaught of bullshit that he's going to sling at her. And then, you know, if they do it right, she's just going to hammer her 3 points, whatever those 3 points are. I don't know. It's going to be abortion and democracy and maybe, I don't know, guns or something. They know exactly they got a game plan. Abortion's part of that for sure. But she'll just hammer that. And every question is just going to turn into that and ignore his crazy.
And I mean, for God's sake, get under his skin, trigger him.
Yeah.
So he completely loses it.
Yeah. He does not like convicted felon.
Right. Convicted felon, rapist, sexual assaulter. I mean, hit him with that. Trump, do you ask him? Put it on the, go there. I tried to get Elizabeth Warren to do it. She wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Ask him if he has tertiary syphilis. I mean, ask
him. She's not going to ask him that.
No, but Marcos, forget it. I'm telling you, doesn't matter. Just put it out there. Even if he gets, you know, criticized for it, he will spend the rest of the campaign defending that he does not have syphilis.
I totally would. It can't be her, though.
Little hands almost took him out. Syphilis will finish him.
Let's put that on Tim Walz.
Actually, you know, it would be great if Tim did it.
Yes. He could do it funny. He could be laughing. He could frame it as a joke.
Right. I mean, we can be creative with that. All right, folks. So just to recap, Marcos is counting at this hour. This is Thursday, September 5th. 251 electoral votes, 251 Harris, 219 Trump. Harris does not need Pennsylvania as much as Trump does.
He can't win without it.
He must have Pennsylvania. So that's the call. Now, having shared all of this upon the advice of other influential people that you and I know, who will remain nameless, teasing them, previewing them what we're going to talk about today. Some of them asked me not to do this segment with you, lest it, because you know how stuff affects some of our base. Oh, Marcos and Mark said, this is 251. We ain't got to vote. We can stay on. So some folk were like, you and Marcos, please do not announce how well we're doing so that people will not stay home and think that it's in the bag. So in acknowledgement of that, everything that we shared at this moment, forget about it. Do not tell anybody else. All right. So that we can stay motivated if we got to keep doing this. All right.
Yeah. This all assumes that we all do what we need to do.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you don't stay home and then that falls apart, right? This is the whole point about being motivated and excited and doing the work about making the phone calls and knocking on doors and writing postcards and doing all the hard work of winning an election. You don't do that, this ain't happening, number one. Number two, this is our chance to drive a stake into the heart of MAGA. Like, we can end this right now. We can end MAGA. And to me, I'm not quite ready to go there, but there are states that could become more competitive in the month ahead if certain trends continue, that where we could see a more serious electoral college landslide, not necessarily like on the individual votes per state, but like electorally, electoral vote landslide. We can see that the conditions are there for that to happen. They're not there yet, but the conditions are there for the possibility of that happening. And to me, that is what's exciting, is how can we humiliate not just Trump? Because Trump, if he loses, he's done. He's old, right? Mm-hmm. How can we just absolutely put an end to the MAGA movement once and for all and let the Republicans rebuild? I don't know how long it would take them. Not our problem. It's our problem. But maybe something normal will come out of it. And we can go back to arguing about tax cuts for billionaires as opposed to whether we should have a democracy and a vote in 4 years. So that's the motivation that we should all have. I've never understood people who say, like, let's act like we're 10 points down, right? They say that. I don't know if you hear that, Mark. Yeah, we got to act like we're 10 points down. I'm like, I saw we were down 2 points and y'all lost your shit. 2 points and you all lost it.
Right.
Your motivation to, it was in the gutter. Nobody wanted to do the work.
Right.
All right. So don't give me that. Now, let's act like we're 1 point ahead. Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
For sure. Because you know what? We are right now. Literally, Pennsylvania is the game. 1 point ahead. We're 1 point ahead in Pennsylvania, not even 0.8. So that's the place where people's heads need to be, is that we need to beat them. We're slightly ahead, but we are ahead. It's okay to acknowledge that we're winning. It's good. People like our teams. I don't know, Mark, you like watching your football team
absolutely
losing all game?
Yeah, yeah. I want to be ahead.
You want to be ahead. That's what gets you excited and to cheer louder. We all seen games where your team is losing. The crowd's not into it. Crowd's not into it when you're losing.
One more thing before I forget. FBI, Russian propaganda. I fear that once all of this is over, and hopefully with good news for us, we will see the influence of Russia when the final study and examinations come out. And that might be a year from now. I don't know. Yeah. But I think we'll find that they are more involved than we thought they were.
Absolutely. No doubt.
Yeah.
Are we going to pretend that this is the only program that they had?
Right.
Targeting, what, 5 influencers? No, obviously not.
Including folks, and let's be honest, those of you who find it strikingly unusual that there is a speculation of 35% of the black vote being with Trump. And even folk who ain't black see some of the stuff and they're like, I don't know any black people who talk this way or think this way. You know, so if it seems strange to you all, it probably isn't right. Because we all know each other. We all live in the world. And people making those kind of comments just...
He'll get 15% of the black male vote. And he'll get 3% of the black female vote. And that's in line with the historical precedent. And
right.
That'll be that.
That's what always happens anyway. A lot of people don't realize that. But 12, 13, 14 is not unusual anyway. And
yeah.
And that still has not amounted to anything.
No group of people are perfect, Mark.
Well, and it's not fair when you're being targeted and disproportionately for misinformation. And
disinformation. Yeah.
Yep. Want people to keep that in mind. All right, folks, this is great. DailyCoast.com. Be sure to follow Marcos. Spread the word. This has been fascinating. You all have a picture now. Oh, and also want to be practical, too, here. Marcos and I talk about getting involved and working. Folks, you know, you can do something right from the seat of your living room. You can text, you can phone bank from home into the battleground states. I wish I had, and I'm going to try to put this together, maybe have it by next week, sort of a one-stop clearinghouse or shop you can go to find out where to volunteer to do that. And Marcos, if you've got those kind of resources, maybe we can merge them together. But I'm going to give you one just now, just so to give you something to walk with and work with today, folks. Go to blackchurchpack.org right now, blackchurchpack.org. That's one of the organizations I'm involved in. And they're doing texting and phone banking right now. You can sign up today. Go to blackchurchpack.org and click on the button, sign up to take action. If we want to make Kamala Harris 251, real, going up to 270. Trump's only got 219. Blackchurchpack.org. Sign up to take action. There's one place you can go right now. Anybody can do that. Anybody can do that. And please, ma'am, please, sir, This has been another great edition of Thursday Coast. Thanks as always, buddy. Appreciate
it. Thank you. Great. Catch you next week.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.